Luke 15. I'm going to read a familiar passage of Scripture, and then we'll bring a message on this. Luke 15, we're going to begin reading in verse number 11. Luke 15, verse number 11. Of course, Jesus is speaking here, and he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, 'Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound.' And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, 'Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son has come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf.' And he said unto him, 'Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the message this morning. Lord God, I do thank you for the good spirit we have in this church. I thank you for people that love you, people that love your book, people that love to come and sing songs to your honor and glory, and to worship you and to pray to you and to hear messages from the Word of God. I pray this morning, God, that you'd stir some hearts. I pray this morning that you'd help these folks to realize that there's a much closer walk that they could have with you even than what they have right now. And Lord, that your arms are open if they would just come. And so, Lord, I ask you to help me. Be with my lips and help me to say those things only that please you. Be with my tongue, help it not to get all twisted sideways. And be with my mind, God, Father, to think the thoughts that are pleasing to you. God, guide and direct and do as only you can, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, a very familiar passage here. Many sermons have been preached on the prodigal. The younger son obviously had a problem. I mean, when you think about it, he had been in the hog pen. And there's a couple of things about being in the hog pen that are inevitable. One, you will stink. You will smell like hogs. If you've been around hogs, you've been in a hog pen, anywhere near one, you know that to be true. And if you've been in the hog pen and you start talking to somebody, you're going to have hog written all over you. They're no, you've been in the pen. That's just how that works. Now, what's amazing to me in the story of the prodigal is just how far some people have to go before they come to themselves and realize it'd be a whole lot better at the Father's house. And you think about that. How far do you have to go before people will turn and trust Christ? We pray every Wednesday for a list of people that have been witnessed to, people we care about, that they would come to that day of reckoning, that they would get to that place where they finally their eyes are open. They go, you know what? This life that God promised is a lot better than the one I've got here. Another thing that amazes me is how quick many of God's children are, how much they desire the hog pen of the world today. You know, why does somebody that's saved and born again, they love God, they've been transformed, why one day do they all of a sudden do like the prodigal did and say, you know what, I think I'm going to go and end up in a hog pen? You know, I mean, of course they don't believe that's where they're going. But that's how the devil leads you. He throws a little carrot out there. It makes things a little gem that looks good, and you're traveling that thing, and the next thing you know, you're in a pit somewhere, and you're going, how did I ever get here? And that's the deception that's there. You know, when you look at chapter 15 as a whole, you find that this is really the last of three parables that Jesus used to address a problem that the Pharisees had. If you look in verse 1 of Luke 15, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You know, they had a problem, that problem, and Pilate knew what it was. He said he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And their envy had gotten to a place where it turned to bitterness. It didn't matter what Jesus did. It didn't matter if he healed the lame man, if he gave sight to blind eyes, if he caused the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. It didn't matter. They found fault with it. They were upset at Jesus, and they were bitter about him. And so when we look at this last parable, we see the prodigal had a real problem. But the older brother had a problem too. Not quite so evident. And that problem is bitterness. And we're going to look at some things about this older brother and maybe help us each to take heed not to let bitterness get root in our hearts. You know, a couple of things about this elder brother. He had a lot going for him, but he wasn't right with the Father. I mean, he was a son living in the Father's house, but he wasn't right with his Father. He was serving the Father. You find down there in verse 25, it says, now his elder son was in the field. Whose field? The Father's field. What was he doing? He was working. So you can be in service for the Father, but not really be right with the Father. You know what else you find? He had success to show for his service. In verse 27, it said they've killed the fatted calf. Well, who do you suppose raised that thing? Who was out there feeding it? Who was tending to it? It was that older brother. You see, you can even have some success in the service of the Father, but not truly be right with the Father. He had seniority. Verse 29, he says, lo, these many years, I've been with you a long time. I've been working hard. And, you know, you can have gray hairs in your service for the Father and not be right with the Father. And you know what else? He was separated. He said in verse 29 that he never transgressed. He talked right. He wore the right clothes. He did the right things. But he still wasn't right with the Father. Now, I'm going to show you this in a minute. I'll tell you another thing. He had security. Verse 31, he said, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And he had all these things, and yet he wasn't right with the Father. And with that in mind, I want to look at this problem of bitterness. Bitterness is something that destroys the person that has it and defiles those around them, usually hurts the people they love. Bitterness. First of all, it's because of the father. Look in verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. When we're bitter, we always try to blame someone else for our problem. You know, you think about it, you're harboring bitterness. It's usually because of something that you think somebody did to you that wasn't right, or something that they should have done that they didn't do. And boy, that thing is inside of you. It's festering. You can't let go of it. You have to bring it up. You have to talk about it. You rehash it over and over and over again. This thing is consuming you inside. Now, this older brother had this thing going on for a long time. And he'd held it in and he held it in, but boy, was it festering. Boy, was it just under the surface. All it took was like that little pimple that pops and all the nasty stuff comes spewing out. And what it was is he blamed the father. He said, you know, you've done these things, and we're going to talk about this. Now, let me say, your bitterness is not because of your circumstances. The problems that you face are the same problems that everybody else faces at one time or another, and not everybody gets bitter. Some people do. Some get very bitter. Some cannot let it go. It's even not because of the people you're dealing with. You know, you think about it, it's not them that often gets bitter, it's you. You can tell when someone's bitter. You can tell when they've got this thing down inside of them because they can't help but talk about it. Sooner or later, they got to bring it up and spill it out all over again. And if you know somebody's bitter, you'll hear it. A lot of times, divorced people, they got to talk about their ex. And, you know, that was 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But, oh, my ex, you know, my ex, my ex, my ex, my ex. Who cares? It's under the blood behind you. Why do you keep bringing it up? Because of bitterness. That bitterness is in there, and still you feel someone did you wrong, and you're allowing them to fill your heart with bitterness. And you know what ends up happening? You'll hear some of the same people say the same story so many times that the person hearing it again goes, oh, here we go again. They don't say it out loud, but they go, oh, here we go again. And we got to listen to this again. And you go, why is that? Because of bitterness. You should let it go. You know why? It'll consume you. Why let something that someone did to you back somewhere back here, or something you perceived that they did or they didn't do, why let that control your life today, and when you could be happy and could be enjoying the things that the Father has prepared? But this guy's full of bitterness. He ain't gonna let it happen. Ultimately, all bitterness is directed to the father. Did you know that? The boy here is upset. He's going to make an issue out of fatted calves and fields and rings and robes. But the truth of the matter is, the father is pleased and the older brother is not. The older brother would have loved to have seen the younger brother punished. That's what he wanted. But that wasn't what was going to happen. The father is now called, his son is home, he's called for a celebration, and the elder son, he doesn't like it. So he basically doesn't agree with what the father's doing. It's the father's decision to have the celebration. It's the father's decision that a celebration is in order. But the elder son doesn't like it. I don't agree with the father. I just think in this case, he's wrong. And he gets upset. You know, when you think about it, the elder son really doesn't have any right to be displeased. He thinks things ought to be different. He wants them done his way, not the Father's way. That's how we get sometimes. We get to thinking, well, why this, why that, and why, you know, it isn't right, and I was wronged, and we get to thinking this, and then, you know, if you're not careful, you'll end up pointing the blame in the wrong place. Now, you know, people always perceive things differently than the Lord does, and I'm glad the brother read that passage in Isaiah today. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You remember the parable when the Lord went out, and a certain man went out and hired people to work in his vineyard? And he went out in the 9th hour, and the 12th hour, and then in the 11th hour, and he agreed with every man for a penny. Remember that? All right, and so then he says, call in the laborers, and call those ones in that just worked an hour or so first. And he gave them a penny. And then those that had borne the heat of the day, they were upset. And they said, well, thou hast made them equal to us who have borne the heat of the day. We worked all day, and you give us a penny. They worked 1 hour, and you gave them a penny. What do you think you're doing? And what did the Lord say? Friend, I've done you no wrong. Did we not agree for a penny? There, take your penny. I'll do with mine as I so choose. Now, the fatted calf belongs to the Father. The rings, the robes, the shoes belong to the Father. Father decides to give them to the younger son. So what business does the older brother have getting mad about it? You see, the problem really, he's blaming it on his father, but it's really his problem. Got bitterness. Now, if you're not careful, you're going to say one of three things. God, you don't understand what I'm going through. You just don't know how bad I was hurt. Or number two, you're going to say, God, you don't care. You don't care what happens to me. You don't care how I feel. Or if you really get upset with this bitterness, you'll make the big mistake and you'll say, God, you gave me a raw deal. You didn't do right by me. Now, you got to be careful with that. People get like that. They say, oh, I don't deserve this. I don't know why I have to go through this. I don't know why. And it gets all real self-centered. The elder son's bitter, and he's mad because he doesn't think it's right. Doesn't think the father's treatment of the younger son and the father's reaction to the younger son coming home is right. He thinks it's wrong. And so you got to be careful about this bitterness thing. Ultimately goes back to God. Ultimately goes back to the Father. A second thing you should see is he's bitter because of the favor shown to the guilty. Verse 28. And he was angry and would not go in, and therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Do you see what's happened here? He's not happy. He wanted Junior to get basically punished. He wanted the father to read him the riot act. He wanted the father to really just, you know, hey, you already took your inheritance. You're done here. Move on. That's what he wanted. You say, why? Because this thing's been bothering him a whole long time, and envy is set in. Verse 29, he said, you never gave me a kid. I've done this and that, and you never did this for me. You did it for him. Now he's upset. Mad. And he says, number 30. But as soon as this thy son, how do you like that? You know, you ever have the parents say, well, he's your kid. When you deal with him, he's yours. And then when they're good, it's, yeah, that's my boy. You know, that's how that thing goes. Well, here's the brother going, hey, he's your son. Well, yeah, but he's also your brother. What, my brother's keeper? Who said that? Oh, we don't want to go there, do we? No. And then he's worried about the son. And then he's saying the living. You know, he looks down there. As soon as this thy son has come, which hath devoured thy living. Now, he says with harlots, but we don't read anywhere where that really said that. It said riotous living. You might include that in there. I don't know. But in the young older brother's mind, the younger son has been doing some of those things which probably secretly he desired and withheld from, and now he's accusing the brother of doing it. He says, thy living. He wasted thy living, Dad, and you didn't do anything. And you look at this thing, okay, so I remember where the father divided unto them his living. He took what he had. He said, okay, this goes to the younger, this goes to the elder. And, of course, in the scriptures, the elder usually got twice as much. And so he gives him, And the younger son says, I'm gathering all I have and off I go. So you know what? The father gave it to him. It's his. To do what he wants with. And he wasted it. It wasn't the big brother's duty to look over and see how little brother was handling what was given to him. But he seemed to think it was his job. And so he's kind of imposed himself into being a judge, jury, and executioner of his younger brother's behavior. Now, would you agree with the younger brother? No. But was it his choice to make? Was it his money to spend? He wasted. And you look at this thing, and what he's saying basically is, you know what, I don't understand how you can treat this boy this way after what he has done. And he's bitter. He wants something to be done. He wants something different. He wants punishment. He's bitter because of the treatment, and he's got his feelings hurt, and he's really all about himself at this point. And may I say this, sometimes in your Christian life, there's going to be an individual that backslides, gets into the world, gets into trouble, whatever, and you're going to look at that individual, and if you're not careful, you're going to be the older brother, and you're going to say, well, he deserves everything he gets. Look at how he's treated the father. And what you're going to be amazed at is that in God's family, it's still a child, it's still his son, and that child, when it repents and returns to the father, he's not a second-class citizen. He comes right, he's back, equal standing, equal fellowship, and you might see that happen in your life where you saw somebody go out and you know they were wrong, you know the decisions they made were wrong, you don't know the consequences of those decisions that they may have suffered. You see, it took a while for him to end up in the hog pen. I'll bet somewhere along the line the realization that he was running out of money quickly came. Probably thought, well, it'll be okay, and, you know, something will happen, and, you know, I'll get a nice job. You know, he convinced himself that somehow it would work out. But then he ended up in that pen and he was starving. He was hungry. He was in a place he didn't want to be. And he said, I will say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. And he didn't come back looking to be a son. He came back and said, I'd rather be a servant in my father's house than to be in this pig pen. And off he went. And he made that decision. And the father, it said, saw him a great way off. You know how the father is? When you go astray, he is longing for you to come back. He's looking for you to repent. He's looking for you to return. And when you do, notice he ran to meet him, wrapped his arms around him, kissed him. Man, bring forth the robe, put the ring, get the shoes on. We got to have a celebration. That's how the father is. You know what will happen if you're not right with the father? Then when somebody that's been astray comes home, you're liable to think, well, how come this and that and this? You got to be careful because bitterness will get in. You ever see God bless somebody like that and you thought they should have got slapped down, they should have been knocked down. You're thinking just like the big brother here and you'd say, they deserved everything that happened to them. And then God dumps a great big blessing on them right in front of you, And they stand up and say, oh, I got to tell you what the Lord did for me tonight. You're like, all these years I've served thee and never transgressed any of their, and you never gave me a kid. Where's my big blessing? And that's how we are. You have to be careful. Our nature is that way, to be envious. A few things about bitterness that you should understand. First of all, if you're going to live for God, three things are guaranteed. Problems are going to come your way. Yea, and all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus told his disciples, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Another thing's going to happen, people are going to do you wrong. Listen, I have learned some lessons about people. I know I'm going back 30 plus years. I mean, I'm at least 30. Anyway, I had a lady come one time. She got caught me at the church office, and she said, "I'm just so in need of money. I have to buy groceries, and I just want to borrow $50." Can I borrow $50? I promise I'll pay you back. I get paid on this day. I'll be here on this day. So I gave her the $50. Never saw her again. And you go, okay, so what did you do? Well, Lord, I gave it out of a willing heart, and she's the one that's wrong, so I'll just let you handle it. That's it. So what do you do? Well, what are you going to do? Let it eat you up? Well, then I had a guy one time came, and man, he'd sob story, crying tears, blah, 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 you know. So me, the soft touch, I give him money. You know what ends up happening? You know, it was a promise, I'll pay you back as soon as this happens. Well, he never paid me back. And then the guy had the nerve to call me from another state, crying, bawling like a baby. Nobody believes me. Nobody trusts me. And I said, well, that could be because you don't keep your word. I mean, you didn't call me to say, listen, I know I promised I was going to pay and I don't have it right now, but I will get it to you. You never called. You never said anything. Now you call me and you're in Timbuktu and you're out of gas and you're at a Walmart and you want me to wire you money. Not going to do it. Now, was I bitter? No. Felt sorry for the guy. Now, what would happen if that guy got right with God and came back and walked in here one day and said, boy, you know, I finally got my heart right with God, and things have been going good in my life, and I'm just giving a testimony. The Lord's blessed me with a good job and a home and everything, and I just want to thank God. Now, I'm not going to sit up here and go, well, how could he do that? No. I'd be saying, praise God. Remember that 50 you owe me. Man, now things are going so well. But, you know, you wouldn't be bitter about it. But then people get bitter. And you know, you think about this thing. You're gonna be offended. Something's going to happen. If you're serving God, somebody's going to offend you. It's going to happen. Just be ready for it. You know, as a pastor, there's people I've invested years of my life in. That one day it's like they took a poison pill and I became their enemy and they went out the door and they don't even want to talk to me. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. What did I do? Yeah. I don't know why. I can't answer it. But it happens and it happens. And when you get mad and say, well, that's it, I'm done, God, you're not treating me right. Because your children don't behave right and you're not doing what I want you to do, I'm done. Doesn't work that way. Here's another thing. It'll surprise you who's bitter. It'll surprise you. A lot of times bitterness is covered up by feigned laughter. The Bible even speaks about that. And, you know, you think about the thing, it's kind of try to be joyous and joyous, but boy, it wasn't long, and somebody, whatever it is that's got them bitter, it comes pouring out. And you hear it again, and you hear it again. You know, the whole father was surprised at the elder brother. I mean, he probably looking around going, well, where's whatever his name was, you know? And where is he? Is that older boy, where mine? Where's my firstborn? Where is he? And go find him. And go find him. Surprise, surprise. What's the problem here? You're always with me. Everything I have is yours. What more can I do? You know, but it surprised you. The other thing you see is it makes you self-centered. You look down there in verse 29, and he answering. So the father went out to say, hey, how come you're not in the house partying? Boy, we're having a great celebration and feast. Your younger brother came home. Yeah. And look what he says. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou hast never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son hath come, which hath devoured thy liver, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. You see, it's all about him. He doesn't care the father's happy. He doesn't care the son's home. He doesn't care the family's reunited. He doesn't care that everything should be wonderful. He doesn't care about anything but him. You didn't treat me right. I didn't get a good deal here. You look how you're treating him. You should have punished him. Instead, you're showering him with all this attention and you're rejoicing and having a party. Well, you never had a party for me. And I never got a calf. And I never, and I. And that's bitterness. That's bitterness. You got to watch out for that stuff. Makes you so sad. You think everybody's talking about you? You know, you think about it. He doesn't care about anybody, just thinking about himself. And sometimes people get to a place where all they want is all the attention. All they want is all the sympathy. All they want is all the pity. This was all about the father being happy because the son came home, and the other son wants to, oh, well, what about poor me? How come I'm not getting any attention? How come I don't get this? How come? And you go, what's wrong with this guy? He's bitter. He's envious. And you have to be careful. When all you're trying to do is draw all the attention to you, then you better be careful. You're probably bitter about some things or envious. I'll tell you another thing. It'll shut you out of some wonderful things in the father's house. Father's throwing a party, but the elder won't go in. People inside are probably laughing. They're probably having a great time. It's wonderful, man. We haven't killed a fatted calf around here in a long time, boy. This is a great feast. They're having a wonderful time. Father's throwing a party. Who won't go in? The elder brother. Now they're all rejoicing. You know, when you think about bitterness, here's a prophet that comes to mind, Jonah. Remember Jonah? God gives him a citywide revival. He goes in, thus saith the Lord in 40 days, and the king repents, everybody's in sackcloth and ashes, even the animals, they all get their hearts right with God. You'd think the preacher would be going, Yahoo! No. You know, I find him sitting under a tree over there. I knew he was going to forgive him. He told me down there to preach. Bitter. Bitter. The only one didn't rejoice that day was Jonah. The only one not in the party is the older brother. He's excluding himself because of his behavior. And you look at this thing. Let me say this. It spreads to others. Hebrews 12:15 says, lest any root of bitterness springing up, and thereby many be defiled. Think of the party inside. Probably the younger brother is just, oh, here's old, you're still with my dad, you're still here, oh yeah, you're here, oh man, he's at home. Everybody, oh, we've been praying for you for years, we're so glad you're back. Whoa, boy, and he's probably looking around the room going, where's my brother? Did anybody see my brother? Oh, he was out in the field. They went to get him. Don't worry about him. Blah, blah, blah. And then pretty soon, well, where's my dad? Well, he's outside, and then pretty soon the whole room starts to get the feeling that something might not be right because there's two of the major players aren't there, the dad and the elder son. And that's how bitterness goes. It gets in, starts springing up, starts defiling other people, usually the ones you love. And next thing you know, there's a problem back at the church house. And what is it? Somebody's bitter, somebody's envious, somebody's spewing, and others are going, something's not right. And that'll hurt things more than anything. And the last thing I want you to see in verse 32 is that it's only stopped by someone who loves you. The father goes out to the son to entreat him. And he compels him to come into the party. And he wants him to be in on this blessing. Well, that's actually verse 31. And he says, and he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet, that means proper, fit, that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Here the father is trying to reason with him. He said, for all practical sake, the son was dead. He was gone. He was not here. Now he's alive again. He's back and he's with us. We should be celebrating. He's your brother. Thy brother was dead. Thy brother is alive again. He's back. We should be celebrating. And he's trying to get him to let go of his bitterness and to come in. But we don't see the answer here, do we? This story leaves you hanging. Does the elder brother come in? Father's pleading with him. Father's trying to reason with him. Does he go in with the father? Or does he stay out? More important question is, what are you going to do? You willing to let go of that bitterness you're holding on to? You willing to let the father kind of bring you back into a place where you can rejoice over the prodigal that may come home? The bitterness is going to hurt you bad. You need to let it go. Father, we ask your blessings upon this message. We pray, Father, now that you just search our hearts, minds, and souls. And Lord, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you bring it to the mind of that individual that you're dealing with this morning. Help them to see, look, you need to let this thing go. And you need to put it under the blood, and you need to make sure you don't talk about it again. Because it's hurting you, and it's hurting the people you love. Maybe, you know, whatever it was, doesn't matter. Somebody cheated you, might have been a brother, sister, lied to you, did you bad. It's not worth getting bitter over. Better to let the bitterness go, come to the Lord and let him heal you and do something with you. Father, you have your will and way in this invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.